For a little time this evening, I would like us to turn to words that we read in the book of Joshua and chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. Let us read again at verse 6. And then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing the Lord said unto me, Moses said unto me, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, that I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore in that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And I would like us just for a little time this evening to look at this man, Caleb. Very interesting character, and one who displays for us an example that would be good for us to follow. Of course, it's not just their example, those great men of the Old Testament or the New Testament, that we seek to follow. In fact, it is the Lord Jesus Christ who is the great example of each and every one of us. But there is no doubt that there are many lessons that we can learn from many of those men, of whom this man, it is said, he wholly followed the Lord. Moses said it away back in Deuteronomy. You'll find it there. Joshua says it. Even Caleb himself says that he wholly followed the Lord. And he doesn't say that because he was proud or arrogant. In fact, he was very much of a humble spirit. But it's the imprimatur of God himself. God said that Caleb has wholly followed me. That is something by way of an example to us that we should seek at least in some measure to follow. Of nobody else is it said that they had wholly followed the Lord. I don't want to go into the nuances of what exactly that means, but to me it would suggest anyway that this man Caleb, however much he might have stood in the shadow of someone like Joshua, he certainly was a man of his own right before God and before this people. He wasn't one of them. In fact, he was a Gentile. He was one of the early Gentiles brought in to the tried the people of Israel. But in many respects, there is so much that is characteristic of him here that would almost say that he was a true Israelite indeed. Of that there is no doubt. And although the scripture has not got much to say about Caleb, what it does say brings to our attention surely, what kind of man was this? What was it that was seated in his own heart and soul? Surely it was this, that like many others of old, he trusted in the Lord. We saw that recently when I did a little character study on Ebed-Melech. He was a man who trusted in God. And that's what God asks of each and every one of us, that we trust him. The word might be quite a small word, but it certainly suggests to us that it demands a lot of us, putting trust, putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, living out our every single day in dependence upon him. And this man, Caleb, whatever Joshua was, he certainly was one of those people who could have maybe been of a much greater influence in some respects than Joshua was. Not that I'm taking anything away from Joshua. In fact, the whole of this book is all about the exploits of Joshua and those who followed the God of Israel. But I think to zoom in to someone like Caleb does help us to understand what God wants of each and every one of us. At what stage Caleb came in into the scene of Israel, we're not 100% sure, but certainly he was for 45 years very active in God's service in Israel. And we see that by what has been said. Way back when he was 40 years of age, he devoted himself, although he was, as I said, an outsider, he devoted himself to the cause of God in Israel. Maybe there was many who might have looked upon him very suspiciously. We have a tendency to do that ourselves when somebody comes in from outside, say, for example, our denominational interests, and maybe we might think and look at them very suspiciously, what kind of people they are. But certainly Caleb left a mark in those people, and it was all as a result of his confidence and his hope and his trust in God. And he believed, like you and I do, wherever we were in the past, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, God makes no difference, Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, whatever might be your situation and station in society, there is nothing that comes between us and the God and the very purpose that God has for each and every one of us. I was interested in what the Apostle Paul had to say there in the introductory words of chapter 12 there of Romans, where he says, "Blessed, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." And that again is a tall order for any one of us to be able to do what Paul is suggesting for us there, but that we are to present ourselves, our bodies, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Caleb and Joshua, as you remember in the whole account, the historical account of the situation, they were called upon to go out and to espy out the land. This was the land that God was to give them. But in that journey, there was many went out. There was 10 of them went out. In fact, 12 of them. But some came back with a bad and an evil report. But Joshua and Caleb came back with a better report. And the reason why they came back with a better and a report was because they were pronouncing the truth of the situation, of what God had said. Remember, Caleb, although he was an outsider and an incomer, yet he knew the mind of God, at least to a degree, that he knew that God was a God of promise, and what God had said he would perform even to the end. Which is a reminder to all of us, of course, is it not? That he has made a promise to each and every one that he will perform to the end. The Apostle Paul said that and spoke of it very clearly. What he has begun in me, he will perform to the very end. What he has begun in you, he will perform to the very end. So God being a God of promise, and someone like Caleb or Joshua or anyone else of the word of God or anyone else here who believes and put their trust in God, we know that he is a God of promise in spite of everything that might surround us and the difficulties that are there. When these spies came back, what did they do? Well, they did what sometimes you find in every generation, even in the church. It does. You find that there are people around who want to make it restless, make restlessness for the church of Christ. There is no doubt that the report that these people brought back was to try and, as it were, put a spanner in the works, pardon the expression. They wanted to tell the people that, look, there's no point to go any further. The people that we're up against, we have no chance whatsoever. Well, God says to all of us, there may be many enemies out there, but one thing is sure, there is no enemy that can take us away and snatch us away from the hand of Christ. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I have nothing to fear, because he will perform to the very end. But what is interesting by someone like Caleb, not Joshua, Joshua is very much in the scene, of course, because it's the book of Joshua. But Caleb draws out many things that we might not otherwise think of without this man Caleb. Because what he seems to be doing, again, under the agency of God, under the plan and purpose of God, he's doing what God would anticipate and expect of every one of us that are his followers and the bearers of his testimony. Someone like Caleb would be good in every congregation. Now, please don't take that one the wrong way. Every one of us are called to be Calebs. There's a good friend of mine who I remember when I preached on this subject first. It was always Caleb that came into my mind when I thought of the late Neil MacLeod of Dingwall the Elder. He was to me a kind of a Caleb, and those of us who knew him would understand what I mean there. But what this Caleb was doing, he was, as it were, taking the attempts of these spies with an evil report, who they were trying to stir up the people and make the people feel discomforted. And what was Caleb there for? Under the agency, under the hand of God. And good to God that we had people like that in our congregations, that every one of us were like Caleb. He, as it were, calmed the storm. He did a kind of a Christ-like thing. Instead of going along with the ten for fear of his own life, he made sure that what he was going to report was a true report. Why? Because it was true. God had said it. He wasn't pretending, he wasn't trying to, as it were, hoodwink the people to make them think that all was fine and all was easy, far from it. But he knew that God would do what he had promised. And I think it's very interesting too, and this is just a little bit of an aside, that the very name Caleb, you know, means all heart. And that comes out in the scripture itself. He was a man who was full of heart. But he was a man who wanted to, as it were, get rid of the discomfiture of the people that were there. 40 years old was I, he said, when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. In my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord. Nothing was going to divert Caleb from the very purpose that God had planned for him in this instance. Now, we don't know much more about Caleb apart from this, but it is interesting what it is said of him concerning Israel and the need for Israel to move on and to move forward and not to listen to the majority, which of course is the done thing. That's what we do nowadays, isn't it? We listen to the majority and we tend to fall in behind the majority without asking ourselves the great question, where's the integrity of it all? Where's the integrity of the majority? Is it always the case that the majority are right? In this case, it wasn't that they were not right. In fact, it was the very opposite. They were far from expressing the truth. But Caleb, as he says here, Moses swore in that day, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord. Now it couldn't be very easy for someone like Caleb to do and to say what he had done. But again, as I probably keep on banging the same drum, we have to stand up and be counted and not to be afraid of the surroundings and all that appears to be the strength of the enemy around us, and sometimes even the very enemy that is within us. Caleb had courage. Yes, it wasn't blind courage. He wasn't doing something as though he himself believed, look, I am the Goliath of Israel. Far from it. He was more the David of Israel. But one thing was sure as far as he was concerned. He knew that God had made a promise and that God would fulfill it. And whatever might be the position of the minority, he was going to do what God had said. But we have to move and fast forward a little bit to the situation that is really set before us here. Because after all, Caleb here is 85. I don't know what some of us would call Caleb nowadays if he was in the congregation. But 85 Caleb. Neil MacLeod was 84 when he passed away. 85. And what does he say? Is he speaking falsely when he says, I'm as strong now, he says, as I was when I was 40 years of age. Why? Not because he himself was characteristically strong. We're not told what his physique might have been like. But there's no doubt that the inner man was one of great strength because he put his dependence upon God himself. At 85, you can almost imagine him rolling up his sleeves in front of everybody and said, look, we carry on with the work. We don't give up. We don't fall apart because God has made a promise and he's using us to fulfill that promise. At least as far as being witnesses to the grace and to the mercy of God. Caleb was a very courageous man in the midst of what you would classify as great enemies of his soul. And he was such an influence. Would to God that such an influence was to be found within ourselves as well. But he was devoted to God. And he was devoted to the plan and the purpose of God. Whatever these people were going to say, he was not going to be distracted. He was not going to be thwarted because God had a plan. And neither can we say that, Caleb, the whole reason for you doing this is out of selfish desire. You go way back to Deuteronomy and you read it again here, that he was given a promise of an inheritance. Was it that inheritance that was driving Caleb along? He was going to have this piece of land in Hebron at 85. What benefit was that going to be him at that great age? It was going to be a benefit, yes, to his successors, to his family and to those who would come after him. But certainly it wasn't the case that because he was promised this land that that was why he was doing what he was doing. Else God would never have said, Caleb has wholly followed me. God could never countenance a selfish heart. He couldn't accept somebody who was just in it for what he could get out of it. That may be a trait and a characteristic trait that is found in many of us, but it certainly wasn't to be found in Caleb. The generations of mankind spell this thing out with Caleb, that here he is a man who wholly followed the Lord, and wish to God that we could too. But then, is it any more difficult for you and I to wholly follow the Lord than it was for Caleb? What is it that we need to be able to follow God, his plan and his purpose? Is it that we need just an occasional little reviving? Is that what does it? Just a little encouragement here and there? Certainly Caleb was one of those who was a great encourager to these people. Irrespective of the 10 who gave such a bad and evil report, but he was the one that was going to be the encourager. Again, I say, encouragement is what we need. Not encouragement at any price, but encouragement based upon the fact that, like Caleb, we would want to be in obedience to the word of God, not following a fanciful idea of our own, but following truth and righteousness. "The Lord hath kept me alive," he said. He's not trusting in himself. He's not believing that he's here now at the age of 85, and he's doing this on his own strength. Maybe some people would like to think that, oh yes, well, I've got it in me, I've got it behind me, I've got it before me, yes, it's me. Not so Caleb. Listen to what he says. "And now behold," he says in verse 10, "the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was the day that Moses sent me." Can we say that as we journey in the Christian life? How many of us can say that we have been 45 years on the journey? Or would we be saying, unlike Caleb, that we're crumbling under the tedium, we might put it, the length of time that we are following or trying to follow, and we are weakening and we are giving up? Well, if anything, Caleb is a mark to us, each and every one, that you don't give up. In fact, as he says, "I am as strong now." If there is weakness, if we have been weakened, why? If we have lost sight of the great vision that we read of in the book of Proverbs this morning, "Without a vision, the people perish." Caleb's vision was God's promise. What's your vision? What's mine? Is it something that the church can, as it were, bring to pass? Is it something that it can bring up and make of its own volition? No. The vision is already there. It's for us to encapsulate it and by faith go forward, believing that by faith you are strong, as strong today as you were when you first came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's nothing different. It's exactly the same. If Caleb can say it, you and I can say it. If Caleb trusted wholly in the Lord, so could you and I, and be what Caleb was to the children of Israel, even though he was an outsider. "I beseech you," says the Apostle Paul, "by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." There is no such thing as a sell-by date for the believer. It certainly wasn't the case for Caleb. But then, of course, as I said, it wasn't Caleb's strength. It was the strength that God had given him to the very task that was set out before him. But very often the church wants to, as it were, put a label on you and put your sell-by date. Oh, I don't mean just for ministers, but for any one of us. But you don't have a sell-by date. The date of your demise, the date of you going out of this world, is the date that you stop working for the Lord, the side of eternity. But up until then, you do what God asks you to do. You fulfill all righteousness. And as he says, "I'm as strong this day as I was in that day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in." This is a man that is not going to give up until the Lord says so. He doesn't give up. Why? Because of the purpose of God, even at age of 50, 85, for him to serve the Lord continually. What would have happened to his witness if he decided to pack it in and just say to himself, well, I'm going to give it over to younger people. Please don't get me wrong, that's not a statement suggesting to despise younger people or a rising generation. But let not a rising generation thwart the promise of God and the plan of God, and for you to wholly follow the Lord as Caleb did. It is so easy for us just to give up and say, I can't do any more. Of course I can't. But the Lord can help me. I'm as strong as this day at 85. I wish I could say that at my age. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but you can guess it. But I wish I could say that. I wish I could be like Caleb and say, I'm as strong this day as I was when I came into the ministry in 1982. Sometimes I think, dearie me, where has it gone? But the Lord is faithful. He has promised. He will never leave. He will never forsake us. The world, in a real sense, is our oyster, because after all, it's his cause. And who can come between God and the plan and purpose that he has made for every single generation since the promise was made, the seed of the woman should bruise the head of the serpent? We have a purpose in life. Don't let anybody tell you you don't, because you do. Age makes no difference. Okay, in some ways, some of us might be weaker, physically weaker. Sometimes we might even be emotionally weaker. But think of what Caleb is saying. It's because of God. I am what I am. Shall we pray?